Well, my text this morning is from Joshua chapter 21. And if you would please look at your Bibles at Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 to 45. So this is our text this morning. Joshua 21, starting to read at verse 43. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord has made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Well, it's a very dangerous thing to talk to your pastor and say to him, that verse is a real blessing to my heart. Because that's what I did about less than two months. I spoke to Bernard on the way out and I said, oh, that verse is such a blessing. Well, those verses are from Thus the Lord Gave to Israel. And I said, all the good promises that the Lord had made. And he said to me, well, he said, why don't you preach on a Sunday morning about that? I wasn't expecting that, so not to disagree with him, I said, all right. It seemed all right a few months ago, but on the day, it has come quickly, doesn't it? Months do come quickly. But these verses are such a blessing to our hearts. And let us have a look. I mean, we've been studying these over the last few months. Our pastor has taken us through these passages of Joshua, and I can say this really, that this is the culmination of Joshua, is Joshua chapter 21 verses 43 to 45. They really are the crux of what Joshua is all about. And you might say to me, well, why has it taken 21 chapters to get to this crux, this point, this important issue? Well, I think the themes of grace, power, assurance, and wisdom of God have been revealed in those 21 chapters of Joshua. And we've gone through them, we've seen the way the Lord deals with his people, we've seen how he deals with difficult situations, we've seen how he's dealt in great wisdom with people, and with great care and grace and patience. And finally, in this verse 43, it gives us a summary of all the things that really have occurred in those 1 to 21 chapters. If you look at chapters 22 to 24 of Joshua, we have our responsibility. So in other words, chapters 1 to 21 is God's faithfulness, really. It's showing us God's faithfulness. Chapter 22 to 24 shows us our responsibility to God for his faithfulness. And in between, it gives us a summary of really what God is like. Now you might think, well, that's a bit unusual, isn't it? But it's not really, because if you look at Romans chapters 1 to 11 are exactly the same. It shows us God's faithfulness to his people and the way that he deals with the people. And in chapter 11, I shall read to you from verses 33 to 36. Just a few verses at the end of chapter 11 of Romans. This is really a summary of the previous 11 chapters. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And in Romans, from chapters 12 to the end of Romans 16, it's the people's responsibility of that reaction to those verses. So it's quite a similar theme in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. So that aside, let's just have a look at the verses 43 to 45 of Joshua chapter 21. I think the first thing we have to look at is the first three words, thus the Lord. I think we must start with the Lord in all aspects of worship. Because I think there is a worrying trend that we look at the Bible as to say, what is it saying to us only, and not what is it about God? We have to be careful. We don't make a sort of selfish arrangement to the Bible that, what can we get out of this today? It isn't that. What it is, it's what has the Lord got in here? What can we study from the Lord? It is the Lord who we look at. It's the Lord who we come to. Not what can we get out of it for ourselves. We must make sure that we don't get into that sort of habit of saying, well, that sermon I heard today, was it relevant to me? Well, what we look at is the Lord present in that sermon? Does the Lord, is he glorified in that sermon? Is the Lord glorified in our lives? That is the purpose, really, of looking at the Word of God, because it's thus the Lord. We look at the Lord. There's no other religion which concentrates really on the Lord. It's all about other things. What we can do for this. Can we do this? Can we do that? But no, it's the Lord. This is what the Word is all about. Let's have a look at that first verse. There are four points that emerge from this section. The first one is a promise that God had to give. The second is a response to take possession. The third is giving of peace. And finally, the promise itself. So the four points. Let's just have a look at the first point. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. A promise to give, I think you could say that is a promise to give. The Lord gave the land that he swore to the fathers. He'd given an oath to give it. And this had been a long time in coming. It had actually been many, many hundreds of years. And you think, well, when I keep a promise, can I keep it? Well, we have to be careful that we don't project that onto the Lord and say, well, God took a very long time to sort this problem out here, didn't he? Well, what he did was, he did this for a purpose. He did this for the purpose of Israel, so that they would get to know God more and more and fully realize who he is. God is always able to fulfill his promise to us. The faithfulness of God is amazing. God's faithfulness is far bigger than we can ever imagine. It's not like our faithfulness. We have to be very careful. We don't humanize God's attributes towards us. God's attributes are his attributes, and they are truly amazing. God gave it to them. They didn't earn it. They didn't sort of do this and that for it. They didn't pay for it. They didn't do a particular thing for it. He gave it to them freely, because it says, the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. He gave it to them. Now, in the Word of God, in John chapter 3, 16, God has also given us something as well, in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It was all of God, as in this chapter. God gave them the land. All of it is his. It's for him to give. It was all of God that he gave his only begotten Son. And you can say, well, why did he do this? Because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We can look at the Old Testament and say, well, that's interesting, God giving them the land. But the God is a God of eternity. God is a God of promise. All God's promises are forever, and they are kept. And God has given us a promise in the New Testament. For he gave us his only Son. And what do we do? Why was it necessary for God to give us his only Son? What is the need? We think, well, it is necessary for God to give the land of Israel this land so they could settle in. But why is it necessary for God to give us his Son? Well, it's obvious. God is holy. God is righteous. Sin is a word which is not often used in society these days. It's a word that people don't like to talk about. They put it aside. It's not important, they say. Sin, it doesn't matter. But with a holy God, sin is absolutely imperative. God is holy. We are sinners. But we can be sinners saved by grace. You see, the land that he gave to them was something that they could hold on to in a sense. It was tangible. The Son is really exactly the same. We can hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. He can be our Saviour. And this is what he says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Because he is a holy God. He requires, as I had the reading this morning, 1 John, he is a propitiation. He is taking our sin onto him and paying the price for that sin. Well, we could say, we need the Son of God because God is holy. And for him to take away our sins from us, we have to be hid in him. Now, looking at that first verse, we say that God gave this land to Israel. And yet, if we carry on with that first verse, he says, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. Well, I'm saying God gave something to somebody, but they had to do something as well. You see, the Lord God has given us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must take possession of him. It's all very well looking at the land, as the Israelites did, and they could say, that's very nice, God, that's extremely pleasant land you've given us there, but we'll stay this side of the river, we're not going to go over there, it's very nice, we can see it nicely from here. They didn't possess it, but they had to take possession of it. This is the gospel. We have to take possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how can we do that? We can do that by seeking him, asking him to be our Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ can be our Saviour and Lord to take away our sin. Now, the Israelites were a long time learning this lesson. Some people can learn this lesson, in a sense, shorter than others. It doesn't matter when you learn it, as long as you learn the lesson that we need to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. They needed the land. They needed to go into that land. And we, as sinners, need the Saviour. We need to take possession of him as they took possession of the land there. And that second point really is our response. As Israel's response was to take possession, our response is to take the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. It took them 40 years in the desert, but they finally took possession of the land. Why did it take so long for them to take possession? Because they messed around with other things. God has told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, what he's saying is this. We live in this land of ours. There are so many things that distract us. But what does he say? Seek ye first. Take possession. Come now. Although it might have been a long time for you to know that God wants you. But come to him now. It took them 40 years in the desert. But it can take us a few seconds today to know. And what is our response? To come to him as our Saviour. Don't mess around as the Israelites did. Now you say, well, why do I have to do this? I've told you that the Bible, the God of the Bible, is a holy God. We cannot come to God as by ourselves. We have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And we respond to him. Let me look at John 3:16 again. I think it's probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, you see, this is the taking possession, whosoever believes in him. You see, it doesn't say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that we won't perish but have eternal. It says, you have to take him as your Saviour. As they took the land, they took possession of the land, it tells us that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What does Acts tell us? In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, Peter preaches to people. At the end, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for all your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." What is he saying there? He's saying, God gives us forgiveness of sins. He promises it for you. Now, people think, oh, well, I'm not a sinner. I'm not too bad. I'm not doing things too bad. But you see, if I were to offer you a present today, and you, oh, no, I couldn't possibly take that. He said, no, I don't want that present. You're offending me by saying, no, I don't want that present. God has given us. He has given us the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, what do we say often? We say, no, I don't want him. I can sort things out by myself. We are saying the promise is for you. Respond to that promise. It's an offense to God. It's a sin to God. If you don't take that offer of giving the Lord Jesus Christ, you are offending God. You are taking God and saying, I don't need you, God. Thank you very much. I can do this all on my own. Leave it there. That's what unbelievers are doing. And Christians, we must encourage unbelievers to come to the Lord and say to them, take this free offer. Now, I know that in Asda a lot there are free offers, but there's always a catch. With the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no catch. There is eternal life in him. Because he says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I mean, looking at this, we should be shouted out really from the tops of our houses. God has given us something. God gave this land to the Israelites. They went in and possessed that land. They took it. God has given us the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to take him. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. These promises are everlasting. These promises are firm, and they are founded in God. Let me just go back. Our first point was the fact that God has given us the Lord Jesus Christ, given us. The second point is our response is to believe. As it says in Acts, it says, for the promise is for you and for all your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a look at verse 44. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hand. God has given them the land, but he's giving them something else as well. He's giving them rest. For the Lord had given all their enemies into their land. The enemies had gone. Now today we remembered those who had fallen in the wars, those who were giving their lives, who are really looking for rest, giving us some peace and rest. If we don't have those people, we would not have peace and rest in the wars in 1914-18, 1939-45. We should remember that they gave their lives for our peace and our rest. But peace in our own lives, God can give us this peace. God has given his Son for rest and for our peace. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is giving us peace. He's giving us rest because his yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we look at these passages and the Lord gave them rest, the Lord has given us rest through his Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us conquering over our enemies. He's defeated Satan. Now, Satan these days is a sort of fellow with horns, and people think that he's in red, dressed up and things. He's made fun of, but you see, the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew, he says to Satan, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." The Lord Jesus Christ believed in Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ knew Satan existed. The world tells us, oh, don't worry about it, it's all made fun of. But he tells us the enemy has been defeated. Are you going to ignore that? Or are you going to come and have that peace from the Lord Jesus Christ, which he gives us? So let us quickly go back a little while. We've had 2 points. Our third point was the fact that he has given us rest. Have you got a burden? If you have, give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him. God has taken our burdens away. And Christians, if we have burdens and things in our own hearts, give them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't sort of mull them over. Take them to him as you did when you first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, looking through those last few verses, they are, in a sense, God, it's all of God. I want to say that thus the Lord gave Israel, thus the Lord gave them rest. It's something which we have to bear in mind when looking at the word of God, is that it is all of the Lord. Salvation, although I said we take possession of it, it is still all of the Lord. Our responsibility is to grab him, to cling to him, to hold him, so that he can forgive us our sins. Let us do that this morning. Now, many of you will know that there's a fourth point to come as well. Verse 45. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. When we give promises, we can't always keep them because of circumstances. When God gives a promise, he keeps them. Not one will fail. As stated before, God's promise is that he's loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The promise is there for us to take. There are other promises that we can grab hold of as well. He has promised to supply every need. He has promised that he will give us grace sufficient to deal with our needs. He's promised that we will not be overtaken with temptation. He has promised us victory over death. He has promised that all things work together for good to those who love and serve him faithfully. He has promised that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. He has promised life eternal. The passages that I've read are various parts of the Word of God. And we can say that in all things work together for good to those who love and serve him faithfully. That's such a passage which gives us great strength and comfort in all the situations that we find. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, the fact that we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. It is a promise. It is something which will be done. God will carry it out. These are precious promises which we all must hold on to as believers in Christ. A promise is of no value unless you have the ability to carry it out. God is able to do all. If nothing else, we leave this place this morning. God's promises are forever. God's promises will last forever. And God's promises are his word. I want us to realize that our lives are dependent on God's promises. The Lord is to be praised when we come for worship. We are to praise him for his precious promises to us. The passage 43 to 45, although I've, in a sense, brought it home to us in a setting that we can have ourselves in the gospel, it also speaks to Christians about our lives. When we come to him, we are to put him, when we come to worship, we are to put him centrally in our worship. The Bible isn't about us and God, it's about God and his dealings with us. This is very important. We must come to the Bible, to worship God. It is he who is central to our worship. He is what we come for in the mornings. We come to worship him. And obviously, his dealings, how he deals with us as well. It isn't all about us, what we can get out of today. What it is we can worship God. It's what God has told us and what God is about. Put him first. The Lord should be central to our own lives. Hold on to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to worship. Let us remember that he gave us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have everlasting life. The promise is that he has given us his Son. We are to take him. The promise is he will give us rest through the Son, through his precious blood. And not one word of all the good promises of God will ever go away. As I read to you the 7 promises, those promises will be forever. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord has made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Death will come to pass. Hell will come to pass. Heaven will come to pass. When we die, it will come to pass. We will either go to heaven or we will go to hell. It's a promise from God. If you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, come to him this morning, because you know the promises will always be right and they will not change. So as we gather here this morning, let us all pray that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord. Amen.